The Parents Show on Mix 92.6. Sponsored by Raiden Solicitors. Award-winning specialist family lawyers. See raidensolicitors.co.uk.
Hello and welcome to The Parents Show on Mix 92.6. I'm Lydia El-Khoury and I'm joined tonight by Nicola Wyeth from Playing Out St Albans. Hiya Nicola, how are you doing?
Hello, I'm fine. How are you?
Yeah, great. It's lovely to have you on the show. So I have a little bit of personal experience with Playing Out. So, and it's always really, really positive. But let's assume that our listeners have never heard of it and don't know anything about it. Tell us about what you do and what Playing Out is.
Oh, thank you. So, my name's Nicola and I work for a community organisation, if you like, called Playing Out St Albans District, which is a project that sits within Sustainable St Albans, a local environmental charity. And the concept of Playing Out, we probably are all fairly familiar with, really. You go outside your house and you play on the street. Something that I did every day of my life as a child, and a lot of my generation did. But unfortunately, the children of today don't really get that opportunity nowadays. If you're lucky enough to live on a quiet cul-de-sac, your kids might play out. But quite frankly, a lot of parents of our age worry about the traffic mostly that is outside our front doors. And so we don't tend to let our children play out if they live on a through road or a busier road than a very, very quiet street. So the concept of Playing Out came from Bristol about 10 years ago, I suppose, maybe a bit longer, when some parents shut a road using street party legislation and just said to the kids, go play, just have fun like we used to do. And it was amazing, the impact on the community, on the children. And so they started a movement, and that is what we are part of. Playing Out is an official thing that you can do in St Albans District. Unfortunately, at the moment, it's not available wider across Hertfordshire, which is a shame. But it is available in St Albans District if you live in Harpenden, Wheatonstead, Sandridge, wherever. And you apply to the council to close your road for short periods. And then the children can come out. And also the adults can come out and they can have a cup of tea and a chat and get to know each other. And it is a fabulous thing to do for the community. It's quite easy to organise. You do have to plan. You can't just do it. It takes about 8 to 10 weeks for the paperwork to go through. And you can have multiple dates and you can shut your road up to 8 times a year like that. So we think it's an amazing project. It's brought some wonderful experiences to the local communities around here. And so we would encourage people to have a go and come along to one of our information sessions where we tell people a bit more about the detail of how to do it.
And I'd imagine, I mean, I love Playing Out. I think it's such a lovely idea. And as you say, it was such a normal thing for us to do when we were kids. We were out on the road, you know, all the time. So it's lovely that we can hopefully give that opportunity to our children as well. So if somebody's listening and they think that this would work on their road, what's the first thing they should do, Nicola?
So the first thing they should do is go to our website. So our pages about Playing Out sit within the Sustainable St Albans website. So the address is www.sustainablestalbans.org/playingout. And on there there's loads of information. So there's a little video about how to understand how Playing Out works. And then there's a whole page about how to apply and the steps you need to go through. But really the steps can be summed up in four. It's just chatting to your neighbours, then writing officially to your neighbours with a note through the door to say that you want to do this and making sure no one has any objections, making an application, and then actually getting ready with the kit to play out, because the kit, you need road close signs and bits and bobs, but we provide all of that. So it's not a cost, there's no cost, it's completely free. And as I say, because we provide the kit, there really is no cost. You might have to pay for a packet of custard creams, maybe, if you'd like your neighbours to share a biscuit with you while they bring out their cups of tea. But that is it, it's completely free. So that's a major part of what we do, is to try and make it as easily accessible as possible. We have information sessions as well, as I said, where you can come along and we can take you through the detail. And part of what I do, the main part of what I do, is support people to do that, to start up a scheme on their street. And that's a wonderful thing, because you've got me, personal contact, to say, take you through all the steps, and I can make it as easy as possible for you. So it really has been set up in St Albans District for people to find it very easy to do.
Brilliant. And I think you really hit the nail on the head there, Nicola, with the custard creams. You know, it's great for our kids, but it's great for us. You know, it kind of gives you an opportunity to hang out with your neighbours. I know some people have street parties, but that's only once a year. And this can be up to 8 times a year, right?
Yeah, that's right. And I think because of that regular, you don't have to do it 8 times a year, I must say. I mean, you could do it twice. But that repeated idea of doing playing out more than once means that people get to know each other a bit more, gives different people an opportunity to come out. And it means that people see each other a little bit more regularly. So they become more than just somebody who lives down the road, but someone you've had a conversation with. And the amazing things that have come out of it, very early on when we started this back in 2019, one of my organisers contacted me and, you know, great excitement because there was a chap on her road who'd unfortunately lost his wife. And he'd come out onto a playing out session and got chatting to some of his neighbours. And by the time he walked away, he got invitations for Sunday lunch from neighbours. And it's that kind of thing that really warms the heart, isn't it? Because it's not just about the children. The children benefit enormously, obviously. The benefits for children include, I mean, I could list on and on about them, but obviously physically they're moving around more. They've got the mental health aspect of that as well, and the fresh air, the fact that it's a kind of semi-supervised play. The parents are around, the parents are responsible for their children, but they've got that kind of freedom to play with sticks and stones and bikes and scooters like we used to have. And they are really engaging in that child-led play, which is so important. But they're playing out with neighbouring children of different ages. We get football matches on our road with some children who are 5 or 6 and others that are teenagers, and they're all playing together, which is so unusual now because kids don't mix in that way on the school playground. And they have a bigger space than they would do out in their back garden, so they've got room to ride their bikes. I could go on and on, really. But then you've got the adult benefits as well. The parents who are meeting each other, forming a support network, meeting people who have similar age children, but they might not know each other because they go to different schools. And then as well as that support on the road and chatting, you've then got the added benefit of making, you know, possible babysitters for your children so that you're making that connection. You're loaning each other equipment. I need something, or I need a costume for tomorrow's World Book Day. All of that stuff for parents is incredibly supportive. And single parents, let's not forget single parents, even more so, to have other people on the road, you know, who live nearby. It's that nearby thing is really important. Dads benefit enormously, and mums, but a lot of dads we find around here who've been up to London every day haven't necessarily got the connections off the school playground. And so when they come out to a playing out session and meet people locally, especially before the pandemic, not so much now, that was always a real eye-opener. People saying to us, actually, I didn't know anyone who lived near me because I don't do the school run. I don't have the connections that the mum has. So, you know, obviously that depends on the family setup, but we have had that feedback as well. So adults are gaining enormously from this. I could go on and on about benefits. Oh. They are just amazing when we see it.
And I'm singing from the same hymn sheet, Nicola. I think it's great. And I love the mix of ages because we don't do that, as you say. Normally what happens is kids have play dates now. They're pre-arranged. They go to somebody's house at a certain time and that person's usually well known to them. But that mixing with different age groups and older ones minding younger ones. And I think it's something that's, it's almost like a rite of passage. It's really important to play with different age groups and to stretch it, to learn empathy, kindness, that kind of care instinct, I think is really important. And as you say, absolutely, babysitters, that's
like gold dust.
Tapping into ones that you don't have to drive home, which is what everybody wants, isn't it?
Yeah, that's so true. And I think another advantage is that the children have a wider circle of, I suppose you call them trusted adults. You know, they get to know the other adults on the street. They get used to interacting with parents of other children on the street. And that's important. They also spend more time outside their house in a sort of semi-independent way, which is really important for them to sort of feel a bit of ownership of where they live. And we've seen some really interesting evidence about children who start to care more, you know, what's that litter doing there? Why is it there? What should we do about it? Because it's outside their house and that's their space now. It's not just a space for cars, but it's a space where they belong. I must add as well, from a safety point of view, evidence very much points to the fact that the children who play on the road, during the playing out session, of course, they are in the space where cars go, seem to understand better about the fact that cars use this space, but on this special occasion, then it's our space. But when it's not a road that's closed, we are not to go in that car space. So it seems to somehow emphasize rather than diminish the importance of safety on the road, which I've been quite fascinated by because that was a concern that I held originally. So yeah, there's loads and loads of things that children are gaining from this about ownership of space and caring about where they are. And of course, you can't forget the bikes as well. Learning to ride a bike is hard for a lot of children, especially if they don't have a back garden or a very big back garden. Having a great big road to learn your bike on then is another step into independence, isn't it? Because the children have a bike, they learn to ride it, they ride it a bit more often because it's outside their house. And then suddenly, when they get a bit older, the sort of teenage years, they're confident enough on a bike to use that as an independent mobility kind of means of transport, which, you know, as you say, not having to drive children around is a great thing to do, isn't it? We want them to be as independent as possible.
Absolutely.
The bikes are great. Yeah.
And if my son loves to bring his pogo stick, which is always a great kind of conversation starter because most people don't have pogo sticks anymore. But that's great. And then, you know, when he brings it along, you see 17-year-olds, 8-year-olds, you know, all age groups having a go and trying to get the hang of it, which is brilliant. And I love another thing that you've touched on. Like children, I think there's been so much of an increase in anxiety in and around COVID and the results of, you know, the impact of COVID. And I think being able to assess risk themselves, having that freedom to walk up their road, own it, as you say, be familiar with it, allows them to assess risk in their own way, which is a great anxiety buster. Because if you're just constantly protected and told what to do and decisions are made for you, you never know when the next incident is going to come from as a child, and it can actually lead to greater and greater anxiety. So the more independence, the more ownership they have of their own space, the less likely they are to be anxious and worried about what might come from nowhere. So like, it's a win-win really, isn't it?
Oh, absolutely. No, you're so right. I mean, that semi-supervised nature of the play that they do at playing out is fascinating. We don't provide much in the way of equipment for our playing out streets. We give them a long skipping rope, which we find not many people have nowadays, but actually they're great, aren't they? I mean, I'm sure you remember skipping rhymes and doing all that kind of thing. It's not something you see even on playgrounds at schools very often now. And we give chalk. Chalk is fabulous for the children that want to be creative. They can use it to create a hopscotch. They can do pictures. There's so much. We get lots of messages written on the road and stuff after playing out sessions, which is always fun to see what they've created. And we give French skipping ropes as well. The old elastics, which I don't even remember doing that.
I do. I loved elastics.
So again, not something you see very often. Very, very low cost for us to be able to provide one. But amazing what comes back in terms of those rhymes that the parents have to remember and teach the children. So you've got a bit of equipment from us, and bikes and scooters obviously come out, and pogo sticks. But most of it is very much about what they make up out of their, you know, sticks and stones. We hear about snail racing. Apparently that's a very popular one on one street in St. Albans. And the sticks and stones and the patterns and the pictures that they make out of that, the running races and all that kind of stuff, they're making up their own games. So as you say, it's very much about them controlling the space. But then at the end of the road, you have stewards. And that's one of the big things about playing out that differs it from a street party and it makes it work. Because your listeners might be thinking, well, this is great. I love this idea, but I'm not sure whether my neighbours will be happy about me shutting the road. And we use these stewards. They're volunteers from your road. They're other parents or older members of the community. And their job is twofold. One is to just be at the end of the roads. They're not responsible for the children, but it's great, isn't it, if you're out there having a cup of tea with a friend or something, chatting away, to know that there's a responsible adult at either end of the street. So they're just there to sort of to be the ends of the space and very clearly demarcate for the children. But the other thing they do is they do let resident cars in if they need to come in. So if you've got some people in your area that's closed off who want to have access in their car and don't want to join in with the session, that's absolutely fine. The steward's job is to clear the children off the road for a few minutes and then safely walk that car to where it wants to park. And that means this playing out scheme works for the whole community, which is a really good thing, because not everybody wants to come out every time and join in, and they may need to get off somewhere, and they may have a carer coming, or they may have visitors. So we just close the road to through traffic, and that's just a slight difference from what people are usually used to with a road closure for a street party or something like that. So it works really well.
And the one thing that I've marshalled a few times on our road when we've closed the road, and 99.9% of the people who realise the road is blocked and they have to take the next next road instead. 99.9% of the people are perfectly happy, but you do get the odd grumpy person who thinks that this is actually the end of the world, that they have to go and take the next road down. I mean, I try to smile it out. What kind of advice do you give to people who experience a bit of a grump?
Yeah, that can be, it can happen. It's a shame really, isn't it? It's amazing. Our society over the last probably 30, 40 years has really become that cars belong on the road and people belong on the pavement. And any sort of difference from that for some people is not acceptable. It's rare, but as you say, it happens every now and then. And absolutely smiling is your biggest thing. If they're local and they live in the road that you're closing, then obviously the best thing to do is invite them to join in. There's a cup of tea down, and we always encourage tea points because we think it's really important that adults have a focal point to come out to. Otherwise, especially if you don't have children, you feel a bit awkward coming out and staring at the children. It's not quite right, is it? So we encourage streets to have a tea point if they can, so that there's a focal point for those adults. And so inviting that person and saying, come along, you know, you're very welcome, come and meet us and have a cup of tea is a really big part of it. If they don't live on the street and they're just passing through, then, you know, it is just smile it out. Definitely. Smile. And actually, it is interesting because people do get used to it. I think it doesn't happen that often. It's like at most 8 times a year, but most streets do it 4 or 5 times a year. So it doesn't happen that often. I do sometimes feel sorry for those delivery drivers who are on a time clock though. You know, you think, oh, I'm really sorry. But generally, you know, we have a little map, our closed end. And if someone's really lost, we can just show them the map show them where to go. But as you say, it's normally just down the next street and back up. It's not very far. We don't suggest you close roads that are 500-600 meters long. If you can shut a smaller section between two side roads, then usually 100 meters is plenty. So it doesn't need to be a huge stretch. The diversion is never that massive.
Yeah. Great. So now listen, I think between us, we've convinced every parent listening.
Absolutely.
They've got to get on your website and muster a team to do this, because it's just so worthwhile. And it's the kind of old school kind of vibe that I think we all wish for our children again. So remind our listeners how they can find you, Nicola.
Yes. So the website is www.sustainablestalbans.org/playingout. And we have information sessions that you can book on that website. The next information sessions are on the 24th of April. We've got two, a morning one at 10:30 and an evening one at 8 p.m. They're both on Zoom. So you just book via Eventbrite and come along, and it'll last about 45 minutes, an hour, and I'll just take you through the steps. You can always email me anytime at playingout@sustainablestalbans.org. And yeah, there are 3 or 4 application deadlines a year because the council like to batch them up. So if you came along to that April information session, you'd be aiming to play out in July and onwards from then on. So yeah, it would be wonderful to get some more streets. We have 35 streets so far apply for playing out in the district. So, you know, when you add that up into the number of people in those streets, it's, you know, we're looking at 1,000 people in the district who've already taken part in playing out sessions and gained from it. And we'd love to have more streets doing the same thing.
Brilliant. Now, you don't just help with them playing out, you also are involved in street parties. Can you tell us a little bit about that, Nicola?
Yes, certainly. So a long time ago, before we had the opportunity to set up playing out in the district, some fellow parents and I got together and talked about what we could do in this area, because we were connected to the Bristol lot who'd started playing out, and we really wanted to get it going here. But at that time, we couldn't get it off the ground with the council, which we have now done. So we thought, well, what can we do? Of course, the thing that was already in place that we could do, the legislation existed, was street parties. And so at that time, we set up a volunteer group called Our Street Party. And it still goes today. The address for the website is www.ourstreetparty.org. And if you put a / St Albans at the end, you'll get to our particular page. And it was a Hertfordshire-based thing. And we can support anyone in Hertfordshire organise a street party. So yeah, street parties last year were huge. I think Hertfordshire had the most street parties in the whole country.
Really?
500 and something across the country.
Wow.
And in St Albans alone, there were about 150, I think. And We supported 90 street parties last year of those with our information pack, which sets out how to do all that you need to do for a street party, including helping you fill out the form. And we also, key thing for us, lend out road closed signs for the people having street parties, which is often something that people don't really know what to do for. It's not like you have a road closed sign tucked away in your garage usually, but I do. In fact, I have hundreds of them. So thanks to various county councillors and the district council and our friends at the Beach House in St Albans, who funded some bits and pieces for us as well. They've been amazing supporters of our work over the years. I have a lot of road closed signs. So if you want to have a street party this year, that's great. And it might be something that people think, I'd rather do a street party than playing out, then we can help them as well. Street parties are different from playing out. I will just clarify the difference. A street party, you know what a street party is. It's closing the road, lots of food on big tables, gazebos, bunting, all that kind of stuff. So that's the street party concept. The playing out, of course, we tend to keep them shorter. They're much more low key. You're not allowed to put structures on the highway, so you wouldn't have your gazebos and your tables out, and you don't need bunting. It's much simpler, more frequent, and the application systems are slightly different, because with the street parties you go to Hertfordshire County Council, and for the playing out you come to St Albans District Council via us at Playing Out St Albans District. So they're slightly different. As of course, the same basic principle is you get the people who live near you out together talking and enjoying a cup of tea at the very least. And that's the slight difference. So yeah, with street parties in 2022, that was massive with the Queen's Jubilee. It was huge. 2023, we think there's going to be quite a lot going on, slightly spread out this year. Obviously got the coronation coming up. I think by the time you broadcast this, the deadline is probably passed for applying for a street party for the coronation. But June is going to be a big month of street parties, and we really hope that there'll be another after street parties then. The Big Lunch are promoting their month of community for the whole of June, and they're encouraging people to have street parties during June. And the Great Get Together, which is an organisation set up by the family of Joe Cox, the MP who died a few years ago, they have something called the Great Get Together 24th to the 26th of June weekend. So they encourage people to have street parties then. So there's no excuse this year not to get out and have a street party. And you can have a street party on top of your 8 playing out sessions. So actually there's 9 opportunities a year to shut your road for community fun and games. So no excuse whatsoever not to get everyone together.
Absolutely. Oh, it's so lovely, Nicola. And, you know, thanks for the work you're doing in getting us all together, you know, because it really is. It's a lovely opportunity. I'm so proud of Hertfordshire. Ah. We're blowing it out of the water.
We so are. We're a community of people who want to get together and form community, aren't we? It's amazing what can happen as well out of people getting to know their neighbours. There's so many things that people talk about benefits of, and you know, from WhatsApp groups that get set up and loans and people caring about local traders and local green spaces. I've heard about a community orchard recently that one street is planting, you know, because they had a bit of green space no one was using, and they approached the council and they said, yep, if you want to source the trees, they've got some trees from somewhere, I'm not sure where, but obviously free of charge, and they're creating a community orchard. I mean, just all these things that come out of communities getting together and caring about a common space is wonderful.
Yeah, more of this, I'd say.
Absolutely, that's what we want.
And it was imperative to have a nice cup of tea and a custard cream, and absolutely, nothing can go wrong.
Yeah, that was what I would say, definitely.
Brilliant. Listen, Nicola, thanks a million for joining us on the Parents Show and for all the info. I'm sure you've inspired our listeners to get up and get organising and get everybody together.
Oh, thanks so much for having me. It's been a great pleasure.
Hello and welcome to Hertfordshire's Mix 92.6. I am Andrea Nicolai, and as always, it's my absolute pleasure to be part of the Parent Show and spend with you all a few minutes on a Thursday evening. I couldn't be more excited about a topic than I am with the one that we will approach in the following minutes, which is dance, health and fun for everyone. In order to get a better understanding of the importance of movement through dancing, I have invited with me tonight one of the dance coaches in Hertfordshire, and her name is Naomi Chuba. Welcome, Naomi, and thank you so much for being here with us tonight.
You're very welcome. Thank you for having me.
It's amazing. Briefly, tell us a bit about yourself. Who is Naomi as a person, a professional?
So I'm an ex-dancer, really. I'm just somebody that loves dance, always have done. I love dance music, quite a fun person. I was born and bred in St. Albans, moved away for a long time, came back. Yeah, and I've just always danced. And I'm lucky enough now to dance as a profession and support my two children.
I mean, you are not saying everything about it and you're a bit modest, but I have attended a few of your classes and I think you're absolutely amazing. The vibe and the rhythm just flows within you. And you can actually make that being very contagious.
Yeah. Thank you. I mean, I think that actually comes from the passion that I have for the dance and the music, and also the passion for teaching as well. I really love to kind of pass on my experience. And I also just like to see people really, really enjoying themselves and letting go. And I think that because I'm so relaxed about it, I think it creates that relaxed environment. And that's why I think the classes are popular. Because people come and if they're a little bit shy or, you know, they're a bit embarrassed about dancing or they don't think that they can really dance. I think that's probably one of the things that I would say that I'm good at is creating that environment for people to come in and just really let go and be themselves.
Absolutely. Absolutely agree with you. How and when your passion for dancing started?
I've always danced since a very young girl. But more specifically, I was probably about 7, 8. And I used to go to Alan and Irene Newcombe Dance, which is now Havana's in St. Albans.
Oh, yes.
That used to be a dance school. Yeah. Yeah. So that was a dance school. So I started there doing disco dancing and rock and roll competitions and stuff. And then I just kept dancing. I was a freestyler for a long time. I went to Ibiza. I stayed there for probably about 4 or 5 years. And I danced in lots of clubs there. Then I came back, did a lot of training. I did classical ballet, contemporary Graham technique, which I love. I did my degree at the Northern School of Contemporary Dance and then worked for a few companies after that, RJC Dance, Phoenix Dance Company, Irie Dance Theatre, travelled around the UK, a little bit around the world.
That is amazing.
It's all I've ever done. It's all I've ever done.
And yeah, one can tell this and there's so many people that have attended your classes. So yeah, you did answer one of my questions because I know it takes a lot of training and dedication. And I mean, in everything that we do in life and also, of course, in dancing, because there's hours, isn't it? There's hours of training in order to have a good choreography in place.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I often say to the children that I teach and my daughters as well, you know, if you're going to go into dance, you have to sort of live, eat and breathe it. It's not something that you can do half-heartedly because your whole day to day, 7 days a week is about dance. From the minute you wake up, you know, you're in, you're training, you're doing classes, 1.5 hour, 2 hour classes a day. And then you'll probably do 3 of those classes in a day. Plus in the evening, you'll be doing rehearsals. Then possibly at the weekend, you'll be performing, depending which style you go into. But it really is the training.
It is a busy schedule.
Full
and
on.
Yeah, full 100% agree. How long have you been a dance coach? And what styles of dance do you teach, do you approach?
So I teach contemporary, jazz, street dance, house. And I kind of do like a fusion of all those styles, really. I used to do dance fitness as well, dance cardio. But I've taught, I don't really want to give away my age too much because, you know, I look quite good.
You're young.
So I don't really want to give away that. I've been teaching, I'm joking, I'm messing. But I've been teaching since I was probably in my early 20s. So quite a while now. It's probably over 30 years, to be honest.
You're amazing. You're absolutely amazing. And you still have that vibe. As you've mentioned, you have two daughters, am I right?
Yes.
Are they following your footsteps? Do they share this passion for dancing? I mean, I've seen them on social media and I think they're brilliant, but do you think that they will follow these footsteps?
Yes, I think they will. Their father is also a dancer, so it's just in them. They can't help it. If I'm honest, I didn't really want them to go down the dance route because it's so hard. And I think now it's even harder. The competition is fierce, you know, so I didn't really want them to go down that route. But since creating NCD, the dance school, they've just kind of fitted in to the company. And they now teach for me. My eldest now goes to college as well. She dances. So it looks like they're going to take that route. I mean, I would never force them into it. But if they want to do it, then I can really help to facilitate their careers with my knowledge, which is great. And then if they want to teach, they can always take over the business, which would be lovely. That would be great. I could put my feet up.
Yes, that's true. Yeah, you can see they're natural, absolutely. And this means so much, especially in this industry, as you say, because there's so much going on out there, and the competition is sky high. Now, one of my favorite questions, actually, when it comes to dancing, how important do you think is dancing and music for humanity, for us people?
Okay, I love this question, Andrea, because I think dance and music is, I mean, for me personally, I think it's everything, because it just encompasses so much. And it's like it's like the unspoken word.
True.
You know, you could be somewhere where nobody understands the language, but we can all communicate through our dancing. Or it's not just about dancing, it's about movement and expression through the body. And it does so much more than, it's not just about the exercise or, you know, shaping mm-hmm. your body. It does something for the soul or the spirit, whatever you want to call it, but it really can lift, it can really elevate you. So sometimes when I'm dancing, it feels like I'm almost in church. It takes me to another place, like spiritually. It really lifts me up, as well as the usual, you know, it's good cardio workout, all of that stuff keeps you mobile, fit and healthy. Especially, I think, for women, as we start to age as well, and menopause and all of that stuff comes into it, just keeping mobile, even if it's really soft movement, I think it's really important that the body remains mobile. And the best way to do that is, it doesn't have to be anything spectacular, it doesn't have to be anything difficult. You put on some music that you love, something that moves you, and you just move your body how it wants to move to that. So for me, it's everything. It's
I agree. Dance. I mean, I've had a smile on my face all the way if you've said all this, because, I mean, it's known. It's known that it's pure health, and especially it does so much for mental health as well. You know, movement and music, the sounds, it just releases those endorphins, you know, the serotonin. That's very good for mental health. That's why I've asked the question, because, I mean, I know there's people out there that are quite shy, as you did mention, but like in one of your classes where everything feels so natural and free and no pressure, it just kind of invites you to allow yourself to be in the moment. And then after one of those classes, you just feel like you're a completely new person.
Yeah, you really do. Somebody's actually, a few times people have said that they've likened the class to a moving meditation, which I absolutely love, because you come into class, you might be stressed from work or the day or whatever's happened, and you just come in and you're amongst all these women that are really supportive of each other. And you're focused on the movement and the dance and following, and we're laughing, and you just forget, you totally forget about any stresses, any strains. It just lifts from you.
True. Now, I think communication could be easier with grown-ups. How do you inspire and motivate the young ones?
So the kids, I mean, they're very different. It can be quite tricky. The smaller ones are lovely. They tend to just kind of look at you with awe, and they follow you, and they're very easy to please. And actually, I get a lot from the babies, because they kind of, it's like an exchange of energy with them. Yeah. They're just so, their little faces, and then I get excited and I feel lifted up, and, you know, that's really lovely. But as they get older, and I find it more and more, it's been getting worse and worse in the last few years, they become so self-conscious. You know, it's quite hard to get through to them. But I really do encourage my children to be really individual and accept their differences and accept themselves as they are and celebrate themselves, you know, and to let go. And I do the same with the kids. I try and create an environment where we're not competitive. You can be competitive with yourself,
mm-hmm.
but not necessarily against everybody else too much. You know, I try and teach them to all support each other and know that it's a safe space for you to really let go, because I think the kids have, they've got it really tough, I think, these days.
Yes.
And there's a lot of, you know, looking up to friends and how they look and the whole social media thing, all of that.
Yeah.
So really, when they come to dance, I just try and help them to be confident, even if it's a tiny bit. You know, we do a thing called a freestyle circle where we're all in a circle. One person goes in at a time and everybody claps on the outside. And you wouldn't believe, but sometimes it's so hard for a child to step into that circle and dance. And a lot of the time we'll stand and nobody will want to go in. So for me, if one child takes a step into that circle and does a little move, or even if they just step in, that's a big achievement. Because for them, from the outside, it doesn't look like much. But for that child, it's a huge deal. It really is. So
I agree. Especially with a generation that just came, you know, after lockdowns, there's not much socializing going. I mean, they're getting on there, but you can see that is a generation that didn't have this one-to-one interaction with the groups or with, you know, and especially expressing themselves. And it's the peer pressure all the time. And as you said, because you had teenagers and I have a teenager as well, and I can see that they are not as we used to be. We were more, it was different. Was different. Yeah. We can't compare it, but it's great you have techniques to kind of help the ones like that. Maybe they're like lagging behind the rest of the class and they don't feel like, you know, oh, I can't express myself. Oh, this is not for me. It's good. It's good. You can approach them in such a way.
I think every child has to feel that they are valid. No matter how many different levels you have in that classroom, if you're at the top, if you're in the middle, or you're a little bit lower down, it doesn't matter. You're at the right stage for you. And I think it's really important for children to know that. Not everybody moves at the same pace, you know, and wherever you are and whatever you're doing, whatever you're bringing to the class, you are valid. And I think a lot of kids maybe don't feel that these days because they're always trying to be better all the time, trying to do more. And that puts pressure on them. And actually, it's like, no, you are enough. The way you are and what you bring to this class is enough.
Because everyone has their own pace and they need to understand that. Well, comparing is not a good thing, but we all do it somehow, sometimes. Yeah. Because we were mentioning the children. So please tell me, how was your last competition? Because I watched the young ones on social media and I think their work is amazing. And they are the next big stars when it comes to dancing. How did that went?
So we don't compete a lot. We've got one coming up on Sunday. We did a competition a few months ago, and that was sort of like our first comp. We normally do an annual show, but we've not done a show since 2019, pre-COVID. But we did a show last weekend. Was it two weekends ago? No, it's all gone into mush now. There's a lot of preparation. But the show was excellent. The show was fantastic. That was really good. And the competition we went to, we had a first place, a second place, a fourth place. I think we had another second place as well.
Done.
So we did well because that was our first sort of big competition. So we did well, but we, as I say, we've got another one as well on Sunday. And it is good for those children. It doesn't suit everybody, but those that want to do it, I'm trying to facilitate that for them so they can really, you know, grow in their dance skills. But yeah, and we'll be doing yearly shows now at the Sandpit Theatre. And that's a brilliant experience for the kids because they get to really know what it's like to be part of that process of putting on a show and being in the dress rehearsals and all the costumes and the choreography and the lights, and it's fantastic.
Oh, I remember those days when I used to do that. It was amazing.
It's exciting, isn't it?
Oh, yes, it was. Especially at that age, you just feel like you're on top of the world.
Absolutely.
You've mentioned, because we mentioned social media. On social media and like in Hertfordshire area, where can people find out more about what you're doing, about your business, about this passion?
Right, so Instagram is a good one. If you want to see videos of what we do, then Instagram is a good one, actually. I've got lots of videos there of my adult classes and some kids. We've also got a TikTok account, and I've got a Facebook page, and they are all Naomi Tuba Dance or NCD. If you look for NCD, Naomi Tuba Dance, because I know it's a bit hard to spell, so NCD. But you'll find us Instagram, TikTok, and our Facebook page as well. And I do kind of lots of stuff. I normally post on St. Albans Mums, London Coney Mums, Hearts. Is it Happy Teens as well? There's a few there. Hertfordshire Mums, something like that. So, yeah, I do. You'll see me posting around quite a lot. But everybody's welcome. Or, of course, the website, www.naomitubadance.com. If you go on there, I try and regularly update that. So you, all the links are there as well. So you can get links to our merchandise. You can book your child's free trial class from there, and you can book your adult class from there. So it's all in the website. And then you can get to our Instagram, Facebook, YouTube as well, even though I don't use it very much, but it is there.
And you're still doing the classes on a Monday evening, aren't you, for the grown-ups?
That's the only one I do at the moment, Monday evening, 7:30. It's a brilliant class. That's in London Coney at St. Bernadette School. But if you just want to come and just like it's a non-pressured environment. And even if you think, oh my God, I can't dance, I'm quite happy for you to come at the back and just get a vibe and just do your own thing.
That's true. No matter what classes people want to attend, for parents and for children as well, to approach dancing and approach music from this point of view, because it's absolutely pure health. Yeah. And Naomi, thank you so much for being here with us today.
Thank you for having me, Andrea. It's been really good. Thank you.
It's been a brilliant interview. It means a lot for me and for our show and all our listeners out there. Thank you all for tuning in onto The Parent Show on Mix 92.6. Be blessed and stay happy.